Hi, everyone, and welcome to Reckless Attack, a Dungeons & Dragons. I'm doing it before you can, Nathan. Ha-ha.
Are we starting the episode?
Yes. We're starting it. We're starting it, Nathan.
But you stopped starting it in the middle of starting.
Not so easy when the spotlight is on you, is it, David?
Dungeons & Dragons 5th Edition Actual Play Podcast.
A 5th Edition Dungeons & Dragons.
Did I do it? That's the actual play. Dang it.
Yeah, not so easy, is it, David? Heavy is the head that wears the Game Master crown. Go on.
Nope, I got nothing else.
That's right, everyone. That was not your GM, Nathan. That is me. Once again, here at Reckless Attack, we are indeed a 5th edition Dungeons & Dragons Actual Play podcast. I am joined by three exceptional members and one person trying to stage a coup here on the table. And the voting will go live at the end of the episode today. Be sure to let your voices be heard. Who is the new dungeon master of the show and who is banished to podcast Siberia?
Wait, question. We're not hosting a modern decathlon to determine this.
Not at the moment, but we can, there's still time before the poll goes live. We can add that as a third voting option where it is David, Nathan, Decathlon.
Right.
And those are the ones.
Actually, what about just a Twitter poll of what would be your pentathlon?
We can't be talking about social media engagement right now.
Just five different options. Who should be the next DM?
Well, I hope if you want me to be a GM that it's just your characters doing the Olympics. Because that's all I've got in my brain right now.
It took us a while to get started today because we were all talking about the Olympics. And mostly Sophie and I were talking about the Olympics. But there was a lot of Olympic talk. But hey, who was it that was talking about the Olympics? That's right. This is how I'm going to transition into introducing each other. To my left is...
Hi, everyone. I'm Sophie, and I play Valeska Carter, the human astral cleric of the Arcana Domain. And to my left...
Hi, everyone. I'm Jonathan, and I play Checkers, the Grung Druid. And it's just your frog pals, Mango and Junior. And if Checkers were to get gold in an Olympic sport, his sport would be... long jump. It would have to be long jump, I think.
I mean,
I don't know. Self's pretty good at long jump.
Oh, yeah. No, he's not winning gold at long jump if Self's participating. What else?
I was really hoping you were going to say like skeet shooting.
Oh, yeah.
Like, just like something, a true pivot.
High jump. You know,
wait, how's Checker's rhythm? Would he do well at breaking, which is break dancing?
Oh,
which is Olympics now?
Maybe. Ooh. He does have advantage on performance.
Yeah,
that's pretty good.
With a negative one. So, like, so maybe. It depends on how the dice roll. And to my left.
Hi, everyone. I'm David. And one, I have a lot of antagonistic energy towards Nathan today, obviously.
we did talk weirdly about a lot of fake antagonistic DM player scenarios before starting for no reason. And now I'm starting to sense a pattern.
And I play Kaskrin Brightmane, a Dwarven Sorlock. And I would say if Kaskrin was to get gold in any event, one, it would be shot put.
Okay,
because pretty good.
Well, catapult would get you. Would get you shot
you
can, put.
I think you have to make it mad. Like there
no
has
magic.
To be a magical Olympics and a non-magical Olympics.
It's like the Saturday Night Live skit where they did the all drug Olympics, which I'm hoping one person.
I absolutely
has seen that.
Yes. I didn't make the reference, but thought of the reference.
But also, what's that sport where they're just in like sleds and they're just like going
bobsled?
Down?
Bobsled
or luge
bob-
or
so
skeleton.
Bobsled is where they're in like a contained sled.
Okay.
Luge is where you go feet first on just like a fucking skateboard on ice. And skeletons where you go head first on the skateboard.
And I believe skeleton for a little bit was banned because people died consistently trying to do that.
Yeah, Kaskrin would get gold in that.
Yeah, fair enough.
And to my left.
Hi, everyone. My name is Steve, and I am playing Selv Asterlin, the Dragonborn monk, who, let's face it, will get silver.
All right. I love that we started like this because this episode's not coming out for like 3 months.
Yeah.
It's not going to be out for a while before the Olympics. So enjoy all of this enthusiasm for the sport that will no longer have any bearing on reality at the moment.
You know exactly how long our backlog is now.
Yeah, at least right now, yeah. Right this second. Sophie, I will give you a chance. Again, apologies if you're a new listener. We don't usually just like fuck around for this much up top, but I need to ask, what would Val's Olympic event be?
Val's Olympic event would be organizing the Olympics.
Ah, yes. The illustrious Athium would absolutely have a sub competition of like, yes, in competitive file work.
Filing and collating.
Right, yeah. Exactly. Makes a lot of sense to me. Well, everyone, we find our adventurers in a similar but much nicer situation than we found them last episode. Same place, but a little better vibe, I would say.
She would excel at clerical events. Light filing. Collating.
I love how quietly.
And we got even quieter. You guys, now all four of you, presumably, we haven't actually talked to Checkers yet. Uh-huh. Checkers could be drowning.
We don't even know if he's conscious right now, right? All we know is he fell from the ceiling.
Yes.
I vote that I'm conscious.
Well, we'll get to it when we get to it. We could have talked about it before the episode, but David jumped right in.
That's
and
true.
So
that's true.
It's all coming out live. The people will see how the sausage gets made. But you all have conquered the strange beast that was hidden underneath the island in the middle of the waveless lake that maybe has been here for a long, long time, has maybe been here since the time of saints, which is preposterous. That is centuries, maybe millennia ago. But it's been here, apparently, and you guys killed it. Good job. This strange creature was disrupting all of the ecosystem around the Waveless Lake, including the surface tension of the Waveless Lake, and was just riling up all the creatures and even some of the mortals who were nearby. Most notably, the mind of Checkers. You guys succeeded in combating this creature despite... it was touch and go for a bit there, but you guys came out on top and unfortunately are still stuck in this horrible, horrible, wet, gross cave that is still smelly. And crucially, Val is underwater. She's pretty chill about it, I would imagine, in some ways, in that you're not drowning. So I think that's
having a great time.
Silver lining. And that is where we pick up with another member of the Golden Tree Guild. David, you were smacked by a large tentacle. I mean, a couple of times.
Right.
But there was one time in particular that is rearing its ugly head. No callbacks to Gross Monsters Intended. Because you saw what happened to Val. And boy, your neck is really starting to itch.
Yeah, so Kaskrin is treading water and taking a moment to make sure that the creature is actually dead. And as he's kind of like floating there, he's realizing like, my neck is getting a little itchy, my skin's getting a little clammy, like all of a sudden it feels hard to breathe. And it's like, what's happening, what's happening? He's like struggling to get air into his lungs. And then he sinks under the water for a little bit and it feels like, you know, he takes that like deep breath of air, but it's actually just all this water rushing through his newly formed gills. And he like pats his neck in a panic.
They are there and it is uncomfortable because you are touching your own gills. And I don't
like that.
I don't know what that sensation would be, but it makes me very uncomfortable. So I can't imagine it's a nice one.
And Kaskrin at this point is thinking like, oh God, this is permanent. What just happened? Like, how can I suddenly breathe water? Where do these come from?
Val, you can see a few things. Most notably, you see, again, Checkers kind of sinking next to you. Like, I won't say stone. He's not actually that heavy. I guess he does carry around stones a lot, though. So the ballast
paying
might
for
be...
my hubris,
he's sinking by his pockets.
Yes, yeah, exactly. Just whatever tchotchkes he still has that is stolen from the city. But also, you can see now Kaskaran has submerged himself in water. And things are looking not clear to you, but a little bit clearer down here. You know, it's murky, it's gross, but you still have surprisingly good ability to see your compatriot and really take in the details of his skin turning more pale. You see more veins poking through, and you can see just right along kind of the collar, and especially he's like feeling it and scratching at it, two gills right on his neck as he is looking around trying to figure out what is happening to him.
Val will swim to Checker's body, and when she reaches it, she will gently grab him, start like smacking him while keeping her neck underwater, basically doing like lifeguard swim Checkers to the stone pillar. And while doing so, I think try to yell out to Cass. Unsure if it's like garbled outside of water. So she will just be like, she'll send a mind link to Cass. Hey, take a breath. Underwater, calm down. You have gills now. I also have gills. I also have Checkers in my arms. Let's make sure he's okay, and then we'll deal with the gills. It's bad. As Val is like trying to say calming words to Cass, but also she has gills and is not very... She's trying to be calm about it.
Right. Yeah. He's calming himself down, especially now that he can hear your voice. And he sees you swimming to this pillar with Checkers in hand, and he sees Selv on the shore a little bit farther. Kaskaran kind of like doggy paddles over to you as well, staying just underneath the surface of the water. How's he look? Is Checkers all right?
I am swimming with him in my arms. I don't know how he looks. Okay. Want to help?
The mechanics of it are very funny. Very small Val carrying a very small Checkers and just still being absolutely tangled up.
Honestly, that's probably better than I would do, because like Astrid just like sinking.
Designed to drop.
And so I imagine we get Checkers.
Yeah. Val will call over to Selv, again, unsure what she sounds like. Selv, we found Checkers.
Selv will move in to grab Checkers from Val, and I'll tap Checkers' face and put some fingers on his neck and see if we can if he has a pulse on his neck. I don't know if Grung have a pulse.
Yeah,
pulse is in a much weirder place.
Uh-huh, yeah, I'm sure it is. So like his third rib, like right by his kidney.
Right.
I'll check for a pulse.
Roll me a death saving throw.
I got a natural 20.
Saint Stillwater still protects us.
That's preposterous. Yeah. Not an outcome, but only in number.
Yeah.
In a truly just nonsense role.
Right.
Please describe what Checkers waking up on a natural 20 of coming out of this probably minutes to maybe hour plus long like stupor that he has been in.
Selv is busy poking Checkers in the kidney. And all of a sudden, Checker's just like, got it. Selv,
are you okay, Checkers? You don't still want to like drown us or something, do you?
Why do you look so soggy? Where's Val and Cass? Wait, where are the kids?
The kids are okay. They're on a boat headed back to Agmar.
And Checkers tries to sit up and just looks around. And he sees the aftermath of the battle.
You see Val's eyes above the water as she just waves.
And Kaskrin's like not quite getting it yet. So he's like bobbing up and down saying, Checkers, it's us. We're okay. And then going back down underwater. How are you feeling?
I think I'm okay. Hang on one second. And he like rubs his head a little bit. Hey, you still in there? Now I think we're good.
what happened since you got here?
That's a great question. The last thing I remember was what?
No, I was just laughing. It was like, flashback, yet another.
Yeah. Well, the last thing I remember was bringing the kids into this cave as sort of a little training exercise. And we got ambushed by these creepy plants. Everything was going fine until the plant tore away the wall. And all of a sudden, I could just feel something pressing against my mind. After that point, it's all just a little bit of a... It's like a dream, a little bit of a blur, you know? I remember feeling the three of you approaching the island, and I remember seeing the three of you come into the cave, but the next thing I knew, I woke up on this shore.
You remember anything about the remains of St. Stillwater?
Nathan, would I have remembered anything about the bones? About the skeleton?
Give me a wisdom check.
Okay. The Curse of St. Stillwater. I got a natural one.
No, what?
It's really tough. I don't remember much.
I guess these dice only have two numbers.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
I can't. I can't not react to that. Yeah. That is preposterous. Yeah, so you remember a lot. Like you said, it is pretty blurry. And especially in those first seconds where this thing took control of your mind, you kind of remember being in water. You remember little bits and pieces. You maybe were aware that there was a room up above, but again, you probably don't even know that it used to be like a mausoleum or whatever. You just remember there was something up there, and then I jumped into a well, and here we are.
I remember the three of you, and I remember fighting against you, but I don't know anything about this St. Stillwater.
That's okay, Checkers. We're just glad we've got you back.
Here's Mango and Junior.
Junior just kind of like pops out of Checker's hat. Oh, right, Mango. Give me a minute. And Checker's like runs behind a rock. And
there are no rocks to hide behind.
No, there would be because you canonically dropped a bunch of rocks on
Self. That Self has stood on too as more stable.
Let me go grab him real fast.
You hear chanting for the next minute or so.
Yeah, yeah.
Val will lean into the pretend and just like go underwater for a little bit. Like, I didn't see anything.
Yeah.
Val and Kaskrin, you're kind of bobbing up, talking, trying to listen, and even just like trying to keep your eyes above the water so you can kind of see what's happening a little bit clearly. And it doesn't take more than a moment of exposure to air for your skin to feel dry and cracking and like burning. Not only does it seem like you can only breathe underwater, but being outside of water is harmful to you.
Kaskrin would like to make a medicine roll of some kind to see how permanent is this.
Yeah, I love that.
Or like an Arcana roll or something.
I think medicine makes a whole lot of sense. Arcana definitely would make sense. Mm-hmm. Or even, again, I don't think it would be a history for this one. But again, I would take it, knowing this is a strange, otherworldly kind of creature.
Okay. Yeah, Val will do Arcana.
Cool. Cass will do medicine. Kaskrin has a 15.
Val with a 14.
So neither of those are high enough to give you an idea of how long it would last or kind of what cures it would take, but it would definitely tell you that this is going to be around for a while. The sensation you're getting is that this is becoming more and more a part of you as opposed to like, oh, great, we'll just wait it out for like 10 minutes.
Right.
And whatever, it's like, oh, this is me now.
In Val's Arcana check, she's really like tuning in to like what has changed in her body to kind of like figure out the spell or something that was like that has occurred from this creature. And I think in doing that, she is like exploring her aquatic abilities a bit more. So she's starting to swim around a little bit more, like see how her vision is better underwater, like how it feels to breathe with gills. So she's like kind of swimming around and starting to like explore a little bit more area of this underwater cavern as like Cass and Self have solution. She's like, the danger is over. I can, like, my adrenaline is starting to, like, calm down. So she's just, like, kind of enjoying, like, a nice swim with her gills as dads are talking.
Casgrin is kind of the opposite, where he's sticking to the shore. Like, he's sticking to the, you know, around where the stone pillar is. And is just, like, looking at you, basically frolicking in this water and just, like, shaking his head.
As long as you're in your current states, maybe you can look around, see if there's anything down there that could help change you back.
Val, kind of hearing Sel, will start to explore a bit more. And is there a corpse of the creature? Or since it is like a magical creature that has been around since the states, which is centuries, pretty magical, did it like poof out of existence?
What you and Casgrin, who were underwater and the closest to it, would have seen was the, as a reminder, Casgrin had one of the most metal kills, I think, of podcast history, wherein he just, like, I think catapulted a giant shard of rock through it, which was sick as hell. But yeah, the two of you would have seen that it got stiff and sunk in death. So you would have to swim down to find it, but you would know that at least it didn't, again, immediately just like poof or pixelate and turn into a bunch of butterflies or anything along those lines.
Val, remembering that, turned to Cass and I guess Checkers. Do you guys want to go check out if the eye squid of eyes is at the bottom of this cavern?
Checkers will jump from the shore into the center of the lake. Just like, last one down there is a rotten egg.
Val starts swimming ferociously, hoping that better swimming ability came with gills.
Casgrin casts enlarged person on himself so he sinks faster.
Very good, very good. Unfortunately, in a real pisser of a situation, you swim exactly the same. Like, you are not given any webbed hands or you don't feel more agile. You literally are just inconvenienced by this, other than you can be in water.
As the three of them leave and dive down and kind of Selv loses sight of them because of all the murky water and all of that, he takes his staff that still has the light on it, kind of looks around, just says,
right then, I'll try to find a way out of here. Don't worry about me, I'll be fine.
The three, well, I guess, is Mango coming?
Mango will come, yeah.
Okay, great. So it is truly Selv by himself. So the three Golden Tree adventurers and Mango all dive into this body of water.
I can't believe they didn't even leave me junior.
Nope.
It's a vouch of trust where it's like, well, if anyone can be left alone, it's definitely Selv.
It's absolutely Selv, yeah.
So you guys get to swimming. And you don't really have a sense of what the middle of this body of water is. You don't have a real sense of where the middle of this room is. You don't really know. You hope that it kind of just floated straight down from where you stabbed and shot at it, but it's hard to say. So there is a decent amount of swimming that you guys have to do. Casgrin, you're walking down and you are just plodding along, and it is just murkiness and murkiness and an elevation change.
Do we notice anything else odd about this water? Like, is there any life in it, or is there any sort of magical resistance as we're moving through it? Because I'm imagining too, like, the squid was splashing, like it was manipulating the water, which caused changes outside. Do we need to be worried about any of that?
That's a great question. I will answer first the sensory questions, where A, it is, even though you are aquatic, it is still very fucking gross. This is sludgy water. Yeah. Like, the experience of this is oily. You, unfortunately, again, those who are breathing underwater, which I guess kind of is all three or four of you, it tastes bad. The water tastes bad down here. But then in terms of kind of, is there anything else we need to worry about? Could you roll me either? I'll do Arcana or I'll allow a perception check.
Okay. I'm going to do a perception, and I also regret asking about how the water tastes.
Yeah, I was going to, once you got lower down, I was going to describe it. So it was a perfect on-ramp. Thank you, David.
That is a 18 perception.
You are descending. And again, this is true for all of you guys. Kaskrin, you are especially, maybe because you are a Kaskrin and always a little bit watching out for danger, but also because, you know, maybe you're walking, so you're not worrying about swimming. You're just able to kind of take it all in. And a few things are very obvious to you. There is nothing down here. The ground is just slop and mud and grossness. There is no vegetation. There's nothing growing. There's nothing living. You do not encounter a single creature. Any evidence that there is life, was life, will ever be life down here. The other thing that you notice is that while the pressure that this creature was creating in your brain and the space that it was taking up psychically in the area all around this island is gone because you have killed it, there is still a feeling of discomfort as you are going down. There's still something more beyond just the discomfort of being in this gross, horrible water in this gross, horrible place. So there is still something here.
On the surface of the water, is it still again down here?
Yes, it is. Okay. Yes, I think we said that right at the end. Like once it died, the water went back, not just too still, but too supernaturally still.
Kaskrin is going to make sure he has the fortunate charm on as he's walking through this.
It's a fucking sick image.
Yeah, there's like this, I'm imagining like a diver walking down the side of this old ancient lake with nothing but a beacon in his hand to guide his way. And he's kind of like just barely able to make out Val and Checker swimming a couple tens of feet away from him as he's slowly making his way down to the bottom as well. And down here, the mental pressure is replaced by a physical pressure of all of this water being on top of him and the oppressiveness of just this black, oily, sludgy water being everywhere around him. Just the very thing that he's breathing in. He takes a moment to, again, recenter himself and focus on what he needs to do, on investigating, on looking for the remnants of this creature.
You all dive. You walk, you plod, you meander the shores. Eventually, you all are feeling this same something that is still here. Checkers, you find first the body of the creature. It is ripped up, torn to shreds. There are some very graphic things that were done to its various eyeballs across the combat that we, I believe, edited out or otherwise bleeped in some sort of content warning sort of fashion. But it is still, it is already pale, it is already looking very dead, but is here.
Right where I left it.
Yep, exactly.
Val, Cass, I think I got it.
Awesome, good. Val is out of breath and has definitely just grabbed on to Mango Saddle, and I'm like, this swimming is hard.
And Cass will also send a message up to Self, letting you know that we found this thing.
Can you? Do you have line of sight, or do you need line of sight for message?
I don't need line of sight for message.
Excellent.
And you just see like a blub as you cast the spell, and there you go.
And it flows to the surface and pops, and you hear cast.
We found it.
Yeah.
And you'll remind me, that is not one that I can reply to.
You can't reply to it
because it's a cantrip. You can't reply to message.
Sam Regal.
Yeah, he's like, you can reply to this message. That's literally the only reason.
Okay, I could be wrong.
No, I was gonna agree with you, David. It can the creature can reply in a whisper that really? Only you can hear, right?
Yeah.
What?
Literally, the only reason I know that is because every time Sam from Critical Role cast it as not the goblin was like, and you can reply in this message.
Again, I'm with you, David. But
it's a very powerful cantrip.
So you just hear, we found it. Also, you can reply to this message.
Great. Is it still dead?
Yes.
Good. Be careful.
Checkers, don't touch it.
And you see Checkers literally about to like lop off a piece of it and just like, aw.
He hasn't gotten to try and eat anything in so many adventures.
Right. It's been 100-something episodes since the lobsters.
You cannot eat this.
That was his last meal, Checkers.
Yeah, right. Val. Has not eaten in weeks. How could you do this?
You can see his ribs.
Yeah,
canonically,
right.
Canonically, Val has made Checkers his own granola.
Yeah.
And I am fine if that consists of like chunked up bits of roadkill that Checkers needs to try to identify.
Well, it's literally I bite calamari.
How else is he going to get his enrichment if we're not?
Yeah, right.
Looking for mango, right?
We are going to have to unpack this at a later date because Val, you don't see it. Something inside you. Maybe someone inside you just kind of pulls you in a direction. Just there is something over there. You don't know what. There's no words formed. It's just you get that feeling almost like there is a creature waiting and your primal senses are like, oh no, a predator is what it feels like. You're not in a panic, but you're suddenly just aware that something is nearby.
Kath, Checkers, there's something else here. It's this way. I don't know what it is, but there's something we should be alert for.
Does Kath see anything with his dark vision?
You can see there's a source of light in the direction that Val is pointing. It's very faint, but a little tiny. And again, because it is so cloudy, it's almost an impression of a light. You can't tell its shape. You can't tell its distance. You can't even really tell its intensity because it is just so murky down here. But you can now pick it out with your dark vision. That's, again, something is over there.
Casper will start walking his way over there along the bottom of...
It just makes me happy to think of, like, it's so good, and, like, it's not a goofy image at this point. It's, like, super metal, but it makes me happy.
I think Val will be following behind Cass. Not as cool. Really, like, fucking struggling.
Yeah.
Again, you can be on Mango.
Mango is swimming alongside Cassgren. Checkers is clinging to Cassgren, just like, wee.
And he's being extra cautious just to see if, like, this thing moves at all as he's getting closer and closer to it.
So, you guys head towards this thing, whatever it is. You are able to go straight at it. Does not move, does not waver. And as you approach, it becomes a little bit clearer, just in terms of its position. It seems to be whatever is giving off this glow on the floor of this cavern, at the bottom of this horrid, horrid body of water. Doesn't move, doesn't seem to react. And so you continue approaching. Before long, the four of you find yourself looking down at a fault line, a crack, and into a starry void of blue space.
And now, a word from our sponsor.
Thank you.
This episode is brought to you by Tumblestrom's Tome of Unicorns. This new book by Lucas Anderson offers 10 brand new unicorns and unicorn-themed stat blocks for 5th edition, including the Goopy Oozicorn, the Primeval Unicorn, and the Unicorn of Majesty. Each is accompanied with lore and plot hooks to inspire GMs using them for their campaign. There's also a section of unique magic items like the Bow of Fecundity. That's fun to say. Plus, all that is set to super evocative rock and roll zine art. Tumblestrom's Tome of Unicorns is a very flavorful and easy-to-use supplement and can be found right now on the Dungeon Masters Guild. That's TUMBLESTRUM apostrophe S, Tome of Unicorns. Available now on the Dungeon Masters Guild.
Hello, this is your pilot speaking. I would like to welcome you to Reckless Airlines. Our total flight time for this episode is approximately 1 hour, and we will be cruising at an altitude of 2,000 frog stacks. In a little bit, the flight attendants will be by with complimentary clips and excerpts from previous Reckless Attack episodes. We know you have a lot of choices when it comes to 5th edition Dungeons & Dragons actual play podcasts, and we would like to thank you for choosing ours. If you enjoyed your experience during today's episode, please be sure to fill out the in-flight survey and leave us a rating or review, or tell a friend. Book your next flight with us at www.recklessattack.com, and thank you for listening.
Self, over on the shoreline, what have you been up to?
Well, I'm glad you asked. Having been ditched by his companions.
And he's feeling totally fine about it. Kind of a little below. Very normal.
Yeah. First thing I'm going to do is, knowing that the light on the staff is probably going to go out, takes the little fortunate helmet and skull that Checkers provided with the continual light on it, and takes a strip of cloth and kind of ties it around it, and then ties that to his forehead. So he has almost like a miner's spotlight. And Selv is going to look around, and there is the chain that is still dangling from the well above.
Yes,
with
indeed.
The bucket on it. I am going to get a good running start and hope that the pillar that Cass made is going to hold for just a little bit longer.
See it starting to crumble.
I'm gonna jump to that, use my staff to kind of get the chain over to me and the bucket, and see if that will stretch all the way to the shore area.
Give me an acrobatics check.
That is a 20 total.
I will say that is good enough for you to get a running start, jump, and like hop onto the chain and just like grab onto it with Selv-like precision.
Okay, great. Then I will we'll start to swing.
Mm-hmm.
On one of my swings, I'm going to use shape water to form a simple shape of an arrow pointing up that just goes loop, loop, loop. And I'm going to climb up the chain and get to the top with the hope then of attaching a rope to that and giving like more stability at the top so that people can maybe climb up.
So it's not so wobbly.
Right,
least,
right.
Going.
Yeah.
I love that. You have no problem climbing up this chain. Somewhere around this time maybe is when Kaskrin's bloop comes up and you're again able to respond, because apparently that's how the message cantrip works. But you know, just kind of as you're about to start climbing, you hear that and able to respond. And
then I'll let them know that I'm trying to climb up the chain and we'll reinforce it at the top.
Perfect. And you begin your ascent. As you climb, I really enjoyed the headlamp imagery, specifically because as you get close to the well, you also start to see the ceiling in a way that you hadn't had the angle to, or, you know, maybe just the ceiling was not the most important.
I was a little busy at the time.
Exactly.
Yeah.
As you are seeing these far walls and seeing the ceiling as they are kind of coming up closer and closer to you, you can see there are markings. Not just on the ceiling, kind of right where you are, but as you're looking, you're noticing markings in a lot of places all along this wall. Maybe even near the shoreline where you were walking, and now you kind of have a different perspective and you realize, oh, that's not just the weathered look of craggy rock. Those are symbols. Those are markings of some sort. You don't recognize them. I'll save you the roll. It's gibberish. It is maybe some amount of hieroglyphics, some scratching. There is spirals. There is all kinds of strange interconnectivity throughout all of it, but none of it makes sense. And you don't even know if it's words. As you look at it, you start to get a little dizzy.
I will try not to think about them for the remainder of my climb up.
And you just scurry up from there?
Scurry up from there and get out of the well, and then take a look down and see if I can see any of the light that any of the others were using underwater.
Total darkness. No light remains down below.
Well, they're obviously dead, and I must carry on without them.
Could be. Could be.
Another bloop. We're not dead. Also, you can respond to this message.
We cut back to Kaskarin underwater saying, we're not dead. We should update self.
Yeah.
This fissure in reality is very small. It is maybe a couple of centimeters thick. And you really have to kind of squint at it to see what's through it. It is as if there's several inches of dirt and earth that is kind of providing, you know, almost like a strange like shell. But then beyond that, it opens into something. Now that you are perceiving it, this is the source of those feelings that you were paying attention to earlier, Kaskarin. And this is certainly the source of the discomfort that you were getting, Val.
Can I do something very stupid?
I cannot touch it.
Better than anybody I know.
Please.
I don't want to touch it, but this seems like the perfect size for a certain junior to be able to slip through and let us know what's on the other side.
I'm chuckling because last time I suggested we put Junior up ahead, Val got yelled at. Now we're going to send him through a portal that's saying back off.
Sorry, Sophie, I don't remember that. Yeah. I don't know what we're talking about.
I couldn't send Junior to the mail, so I'm going to try and send him into another dimension, if that works.
You can certainly try, if you'd like to do that.
And Checkers just slowly approaches the fault line with a little frog in his hand, looking at Kaskarin, looking at Val, just like, eh? Eh?
No, please, no.
Junior's all on board. He's got the goggles ready.
Yeah, he's got jumpsuit.
Like, it doesn't even matter what we say. Like, he's already like, he's hopped off.
I'm not asking the question. I'm just like letting you know that I'm going to do this and you cannot stop me.
Checkers is actually being dragged by Junior. Right, he's like holding him back to make sure it's fine.
Uh-huh. So, farewell, Junior. Bon voyage. And Junior disappears into the crack.
Okay, what sort of connection? He's your familiar, right?
Correct.
Your connection is gone.
Okay. Forever.
Erase that from your character sheet.
No more familiar. What's a familiar?
Yeah, I forgot the word familiar.
Cross
that
spell off your spell list.
Before he goes, he's guidance.
He's now an unfamiliar.
So whatever part of you is connected to Junior is severed.
Okay.
It is
my arm.
And Junior, essentially, as far as your kind of like deep inner connection to the spirit that he is, Junior doesn't exist. There's no flash of light. There is no anything. Junior just crawls through the crack and you know he's gone. Whether that means corporeally gone, whether that means different dimension, whether that means something worse than death, hard to say. You just know Junior's gone.
We'll figure out what happened a little bit later.
Next time on Reckless Attack.
Why don't we go see what's going on with that guy? And he just points to the squid.
I am curious, though, before, like, is anything being sucked into it? Like, is there water being drained into this thing? Or
sand and
nothing.
Silk?
It is still. It is just this, again, this strange crack in reality with blue light and blue stars of alien constellations that you do not recognize, but is nonetheless beautiful and frightening. And this world is not reacting to it.
We found out it eats frogs.
While we're here, Val would like to study it and do an arcana check to learn more about what's happening and maybe relate it to things she's seen previously.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a 7.
Total?
I rolled a 2.
I would say this would be apparent to all of you. You've seen this before. Not this exact fissure, not anything like that. But you have a recollection of a certain someone opening a doorway to somewhere not here. And summoning creatures through it. Creatures known as the First Ones. It's not a doorway, but boy, that blue energy looks the same. Those blue stars, they're not our stars, that's for sure. And this feeling of discomfort goes beyond emotion. It is the mortal soul equivalent of an opposite magnet charge, where something about it is just repellent to be next to. It is unsoul, it is unnature, it is unmortal. And just every bit of your nervous system is saying, I should not be here. And it all, now you're thinking back to what the creature said to you. It certainly talked a little bit about a glorious war. Bakri certainly recognized it to a degree. And it also said something about the fisher is gone. And it hoped that it would find its way home very soon. And it would be able to take you all with it, which I thought was a very nice and lovely offer, but maybe looks a little bit less nice from here.
Does it seem like it's changing shape at all in the time that we've been here?
So, one of my favorite things in a Stanley Kubrick movie are long, uncomfortable, unmoving shots that are uncanny valley. Think 2001 Space Odyssey, etc. You're looking at this, and again, in the same way that the waveless lake is kind of uncanny, it takes a while to get used to. There is no swirls. There's no hum. There's no anything. Again, the silt is not moving. There is no water change. The stars are not moving. There's nothing going on the other side. Nothing. It is just there as if it is overlaid onto reality.
Is there any way we can close it? I mean, it looks like it's so small. Maybe, I don't know, can any of our magic even affect this thing?
It's hard to say what this magic even is. We've seen the shepherd do it, but he has a lantern to control this. To control summoning portals, gateways. They have centuries of magic since
the Ultra Giants, since before the Ultra Giants, they travel through portals and gateways like doors. That's something I know nothing about. I think we need to get out of here and tell Vina.
I think you're right. We don't have enough information at this point to do anything with this, but whatever Saint Stillwater did to keep this creature here, I think it's safe to say that magic is gone. With his body gone as well.
The sooner we let them know, the sooner we can try to find where they went. I have a question for Jonathan. In this time, has Checkers touched the squid creature? Has Gaston and Val been talking at this, How quickly did you get over Junior just fucking blotting out of existence?
Being unmade, as far as you know.
He'll be back, maybe. I don't know. I don't think Checkers is trying to touch this weird squid creature, but Mango, I think, has been sent to see if he can make something out of this.
So Mango has a little knife and is just like...
Yeah, Mango has taken the knife and is just like trying to scrape off a piece of it.
You said Checkers. You said Checkers was not supposed to touch it. Yeah. Mango definitely still can't. What sort of connection do you and Mango have?
Oh, God.
You guys are talking. And Val, you realize Checkers has been silent for some time.
For too long.
Checkers, you have sent Mango, or maybe Mango, you know, he's his own frog. So maybe he just went off knowing what you hoped would happen.
Right. He just took the knife by himself and just went over to this squid creature and started sawing at it by his own volition. No input from Checkers whatsoever.
Checkers, Mango returns. Maybe faster than you thought he would.
Okay.
Somehow, Mango returned.
And still holding a knife in his mouth. Like he is Arnold Schwarzenegger in The Predator. He swims up to you very quickly, even for an amphibious aquatic animal, and just sits and stares at you.
What's wrong, boy? What happened?
He opens his mouth and the knife falls out kind of at your feet. And he nudges it back to you.
Okay.
And he looks at you and he just shakes his head.
Oh no.
Buddy.
I'll pet him.
And to be clear, he left with enthusiasm. He knew, again, what his unspoken mission was. He was happy to go do this. And like he had been past this creature before. He knew what it was. But now is returning and he's acting different.
Okay.
Does Mango have gills?
No.
Okay.
Not noticeably, which I guess you would probably have to notice. But he just looks at you and just like he just shakes his head and is clearly shaken by something.
I don't know what that weird squid thing is, but Mango's not a fan. And he just wandered over there by himself and tried to touch it, so...
Let's check out the corpse before we swim back up and figure out how we can get out of here.
Casper nods and kind of starts making his way back to the squid. I don't know if he saw this interaction between Mango and Checkers, but he's going to actually try and do the same thing. But this is not for eating purposes. This is for...
You already have gills. Go ahead.
Yeah, this is for retrieval purposes. Like, we haven't been able to... Like, the only other evidence we've seen of these things was in the forest with a creature made of smoke and in Valeska's dreams where there was no physical evidence. Like, this is the first time we have something that we could maybe bring back.
Kashkin, you approach what is left of this creature. Checkers, you see why Mango was hesitant. Because when you passed it, it was, again, clearly dead. There was no life to it. It was moving. The color had changed. It looks like it's rotting. Its skin has changed color even further. There is clear signs of bloat and decay. And... it went from, ah, yes, regular dead body of horrific creature, to this has been here for longer than the 3 or 5 or 10 minutes that we have left it alone.
Kaskrin's going to turn to Checkers and say, I think we're going to have to be quick, but do you still have that haversack?
That's exactly what I was thinking.
And Kaskrin kind of takes out his side dagger and as quickly as he can cuts off kind of a good like foot long chunk of one of these tentacles.
It gives away quickly. And again, you were up close and personal with this. You know that there wasn't a, you know, bone there or anything like that, but it is old flesh now that you are cutting into.
Yeah.
It is not giving anywhere near the same level of resistance or anything from when you were battling it.
Okay. And I imagine Checkers like quickly holds open this thing.
Right.
Kaskrin like shoves it into this dimensional space. And we'll repeat the process a couple more times with like part of the squid head, like maybe just like a little bit more of it to have samples.
Val is determinedly not thinking about how gross the haversack is going
to
be.
I think between sessions, we're really going to need to explore, like, do they have their own, like, cubicles where, everything is, like, perfectly contained, and so you pour out, like, gross, disgusting water and tentacle, but then, like, the book that's in there is still fine. Like, I don't know the metaphysics of it. We'll have to determine it in between sessions.
And well, there's nothing
opening it underwater. Does everything then just
right?
Right. Well, again, I will assume, like, I am happy to, you guys, your characters would know how this works. I will not hold you to whatever choices you are making in describing doing these things in this moment.
And Kaskrin's really looking for, like, is there a core to this creature? Is there something that, like, makes it up that we can take for examination? Because, like, he's already, you know, like, hands deep in this thing. Like, there's no going back.
Didn't you put a rock through the middle of the core of the creature?
So. Yeah.
Yeah, it is just parts.
Okay.
Like, it is actually astonishing. You're in it. There's no skeleton, no organs. Anything that resembles mortal anatomy does not exist in this creature. This is different. This is nothing. This is nothing like what we have. You all, once again, rise at least close enough to the surface to look up and certainly send a message upwards to Selv.
The Verdant Wave has finished with the creatures on the shore and are now here. I sent them back for large barrels of water to carry you back with. I have a rope for you to climb up. Whenever you're ready, I could drop it down.
Kaskrin, you hear Sel's response that the Verdant Wave is here. And echoing around the cavern is a voice that rings out and says, don't worry, guys. We'll get you out. And that's where we'll end this week's episode, everybody. See you next time on Reckless Attack. Wait, that's not where we're going to end this week's episode.
A bait and switch, Nathan?
No. Yes, give me lore.
The camera is moving through murky water. The same murky water the Golden Tree Adventuring Guild was just mucking around in. And you see the corpse of the first one. You see it as you first discovered it, freshly dead, but intact, not rotting. And you see all across its bodies are all these cuts and scrapes and tears and signs of battle. And you, being the audience, sees very slowly, very imperceptibly, these wounds painfully slowly begin to close and heal. It may not be healing in seconds, in minutes, in hours, maybe not even in days, but life is stirring back into this freshly dead creature. That is until a large, black, skeletal, arcane hand reaches out of the murky darkness and grabs onto this creature and pulls life force from it. You see this bluish energy trail held in its skeletal fist, and it just disappears into the murk. And immediately, the creature goes from freshly dead to rotting and decaying. And that is where we will end this week's episode. See you next time.
But what is the hand from?
David!
Bye, everyone.
We'll get a long rest after this, right? In the spooky water?
Right.
I mean, I guess so.
We can take a long rest anywhere.
Right. Yeah.
Factually accurate. Uh-huh. That is...
You can't stop us, Nathan. Yeah.
The world...
I'm long resting right now.
You can't stop me from hitting this button right now. I'll do it, I swear.
The shiny red candy-like button.
Yeah.
Again, it is not difficult for me to Google the stat block of a lich. Like it's very easy. Yeah. Like it's all on roll 20. Mm-hmm. I don't need to open a book or anything. Like it's out there. It's not paywalled at all.
Our characters already have 99 problems.
But a lich could be one.
Yes. I'm just saying.
Right. I am saying you should count yourself lucky that a lich is not one of them.